perfect.
Mom went down to the elevator to meet them.
Okay, oh, great. So, should I get ready to photograph them now, or? Because we're just about wrapping it up, so.
Okay, yeah. She'll walk back with them if you want to get those photos.
Yeah, okay, maybe I should do that.
Okay, should we take these off?
Yes, actually, I'm going to ask you to sign some release forms for me, so I can use. Okay. Let's see.
Who else did you want? Anybody else?
Well, I guess you could sign it as husband and wife, and that should be fine, and or just, you know, the whole family. Okay. So I'm just going to.
David, can you hand this to Granny and have her sign it by my name?
By whose?
Are you all going to sign it to?
Do I need to?
Yes.
Wait, right there?
Yeah, until Granny is signed.
It's pretty how they do that, isn't it?
Yes, you are. Wait, did they actually push the national standards there at the camera? That one's fine, but you don't have time to take off both shirts.
What?
You don't have time to take off both shirts.
Where you got the sign?
I think it's at the Babbitts.
Just right next to one of our names there.
At the Babbitts.
At the Babbitts.
I didn't know they had one in LA.
Well, you're all right, almost alike.
Who?
Jax, you signed it, didn't you?
Oh, well, now I got my deals. Well, look, it's almost, almost.
Yeah, but my dad says David Lewis.
Yeah, find the other silver cord.
It is that, David Lewis.
Thank you.
Where did you say? Oh, yeah, it does look like, but it's not.
Yes.
No, he did alone, had a daughter doing, honey.
What's that?
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mom, why don't you come over here and sit down?
Yeah, don't sit down there.
Get the legs a moving.
can I give you a glass of water? I mean, a bottle of water or something?
No, dear. I'm
fine. Nothing to drink at all?
No.
This water's not good for my legs.
I'm fine, thank you.
You sure? Have some soft drink if you want.
I'm good, thank you.
Do what?
Okay, so thank you again for coming. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to celebrate Maria and her contribution, because I think, you know, that's what the purpose of my project has been, to really, you know, shine a different light on the subculture of waitresses, because a lot of them tend to be pitied, or, you know, people feel sorry for them because they have to work after retirement age. And, you know, what I keep learning is that these women really love what they do, and they're something to be celebrated, and that it's actually a wonderful contribution to their communities, and that they really play a big role in people's lives that, you know, a lot of us just don't recognize. So I think, I'd like to, in that spirit, kind of talk about, you know, Maria and how she's made an impact in your life. Mm-hmm. So when did you meet her, and how did you?
We met her when the Suites opened. Was that in
Suites opened up
May of 03.
May of 03, correct.
Mm-hmm. So, and was she just, you were in these types of suites, or how did you?
Cause yes.
This is really unusual for me, because I've never been at a.
No, did we meet her that first year? Did she come?
But we were down the hall a little bit.
413.
Right.
And then 2 years ago, then we moved, what, next door?
Yeah.
And,
yeah, but initially we met her here when these suites opened up, this phase one that they did.
And then when we moved down here, she wasn't supposed to be in our suite, but we requested her.
Mm-hmm. So why did you request her? What was different about Maria?
Well, she's good people, and she laughs at my jokes. She makes
good Bloody Marys. I knew that was coming.
She's like family.
Yeah, she is.
She is family.
She's easy to, you can just talk to her about.
She's not your typical waitress that comes up and she comes up and she gets right to the point of what you want. You know how some waitresses will just kind of just stand around and then you have to kind of go to them a little bit. She comes right there, and then once she gets to know you, she knows exactly what you want, and that's part of customer satisfaction, and that's what she does really well. And then she kind of just leaves. You know how they keep coming back if you've been in this business, so-called, they keep coming back and they saying, how is everything? Is everything okay? Is everything all right? She doesn't do that. She gets exactly what you want, and then she moves on and does something else. Because she takes care of other suites, too. It's just in us.
Mm-hmm.
So and she does it in a very professional manner. But she's part of family, so it's kind of hard from that standpoint to say that, you know, someone else couldn't be a part of this. But we've had her from day one. So
was she that confident in the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
I
kind of transfers too, and
yeah,
because when you have a waitress who's, you know, not so sure, and even if they're attentive, they're over attentive, so they're kind of, their presence is a little more of a worry
right.
than a, you know, than
exactly.
a comfort, you know, because
right.
you're like, oh, if they're so nervous, maybe, you know, I should be nervous,
right.
and they're not gonna.
And she's not overbearing at all.
And that's right, and she likes what she does, and that's a big part of it too. I mean, she works for nice organization too, which has a lot to do with it as well, and if she enjoys the people that she's working with, she's going to enjoy her job a lot more too, which she does.
And that comes through.
And I think we yeah. make her day when we show up.
Right, because we are like family. I mean, we always hug and kiss her when you come or go. She's just, we saw, she's just like mm-hmm. our family.
Has she ever been to your house, or have you
yeah.
ever had, really?
She's been to our house a couple times. She came to my birthday party.
She came to Bible study.
No, it was a birthday party. Maybe
she came
go.
Once.
She lives pretty far from us. And we live kind of out, I call it the country. So, you know, for her to drive that far, I think it is just us, but yes, she's coming.
And how did you, what was the first time that you invited her? What were the circumstances?
I think it was my 40th birthday party. And I just.
Before
mm-hmm.
the.
Was I wasn't
it?
There.
Has she been there twice? She has, because she came one time.
No,
you're right. I thought she had been there twice. She came there one day for lunch.
We went to have a party.
Just, and there was just the four of us here.
And you just thought, oh, you just
yeah.
invited her off
yeah.
the... That's really nice.
Right.
That's special. I think that, you know, a lot of waitresses don't get... Even if they have regular customers, I mean, to, you know, once you break the barrier and you kind of become extended family,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that's unique. And I think that's part of, you know, the role that you guys play in her life in terms of why she continues to work
mm-hmm.
is really, you know, it's a two-way street because she gets as much out of it as she's giving, you
mm-hmm.
know. So I think that's really wonderful. Can you talk about why, you know, what makes her different in terms of other waitresses that you have? Well, you don't have any
she's
other waitresses very, that come to your house, do you?
What?
No. Actually, no.
I just assumed that you didn't.
If we were had any other waitresses come to our house, I don't think so.
Oh. I've been there quite a few times.
Yeah. yeah, I'm the only waitress that lives in that. No, I'm teasing. I was going to say something. Can you answer a question? What makes her different?
Well, I think one thing is that you can tell she comes in with a smile on her face. Not a lot
always.
Of waitresses do that. And that's part of enjoying your job and enjoying the customers and the people, because obviously the people that have these have spent a lot of money too. She doesn't take it upon that a lot of partners might have some money. She might not have as much as them, but she enjoys her everyday job. And that's a big
and
part, because you get some waitresses that come in and say, like, what do you want? You know, you can just
well,
tell
they
the attitude
is there. They bring the heaviness of their life with them, and
right.
she doesn't
and she
have
doesn't
that.
Do that.
Even when her, I think her husband died about a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and he'd been very sick, and it's a long story, but you would not have known that if you didn't know her personally. She doesn't, you know.
And she doesn't treat adults any different than children, because
absolutely.
Being with them and being in here, and they're up here with us every time, is the fact that she'll do anything for them as much as she would do for us. So, I mean,
well,
it's important to us to treat the children just like they would treat an adult, too.
Yeah, you know, I have a, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have a waitress that in Her name is Esther, and she says that for the younger kids that come in, you know, she said that a lot of waitresses don't want to deal with the kids because they think, oh, you know, they're not going to be, they're going to make a mess or something. And she's like, those are your customers of tomorrow.
That's true.
And, you know, she waits on three generations, and she's like, that's really important that, you know, they are part of the family, and you know, they treat them as though they were your family. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, my youngest son, younger than David, my middle kid, he has two little girls. Well, they're getting big now, but when they come up, well, she treats them just like that, you know, that they was here all the time. Mm-hmm. And the girls are always doing something, you know. And she'll go get a big thing of cherries because they like cherries in their soft drinks.
Find them crayons or
yeah, crayons and books and all that stuff.
Amazing. Do you?
But not out. She doesn't do it out of like. That's just her. It's out of her heart. It's not like.
It's not saying that's a part of my job. It's just like she says. It's a part of her.
Yeah,
she's very giving person. You can tell.
And when I'm not seeing her for several months, I think about her a lot. I've called her, talked to her on the phone, you know, because the track, of course, isn't open all year round. When you see somebody 4 or 5 days a week, because they like to come 4 or 5 days a week, you know.
So does Granny.
She's not afraid, too, if something's, if the food or if there's something that is wrong.
She'll go to bat.
She goes to bat. She'll take food back to the kitchen and
never
tell them, you get it
like
right or,
involved,
or,
you know?
Or, yeah, exactly. And
well,
she'll
not
get it.
As well.
Right.
If not, then you go back to the kitchen and let them know.
Not me. Tom does. But
and that's worse when you know something's wrong, though, and then, you know, they kind of make you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because the food's not right, and then, you know, you're feeling uncomfortable when, you know, really should be taken care of by the waitress.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
David, what do you like about Maria?
She's nice.
Yeah.
She helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What'd she help you with?
Getting drinks and helping me pick horses.
And she talks. I mean, she talks, sits down and talks to each one of us, you know.
Yeah,
she's
always pulling for a horse that we bet on. Especially me.
Why do you win it? No, you win 25% of the time.
Oh, let's not talk about how many days I was out here and I had one winning day.
Oh, but you're not supposed to tell that part of it.
What about you, Jax?
Same thing.
What?
Oh, really?
Oh, you can think of something different.
Jax, what do you like about Maria? What does she do?
She goes get you a big hot dog, doesn't she?
Yeah. Probably get chocolate. Get me desserts.
Oh, she definitely does.
What does she do? Where does she go to get those?
Upstairs.
No, where does, what does she do? Sometimes she brings cookies for us from, she makes
from
cookies
home,
and brings them sometimes. She, and if she doesn't do that, she'll actually, you know, go to another suite. Because when you're just 6 or 8 in a suite, you have to order a huge thing, so she'll go to one of these suites that has the big dessert, and she brings them in a napkin wrapped up too. She's always taking care of the kids, getting them dessert and
cookies
and carrot cake, right? You think she could find some of that today? You like cheesecake though.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely is always taking care of them.
That's great. That's
and you know
great.
Some waitresses would not do that because they're maybe losing tip.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just, but she's great about that.
Do you find that you tip her more than other waitresses, or tip her more?
I won't say that you, if you find a good waitress, you tip upon the service.
Mm-hmm.
So you tip accordingly. So I won't
say, really tip according
but
to the
we,
bill here.
We don't, I don't tip anyone else because we don't have anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to another restaurant or something like that,
we,
I mean,
try to take
we
care
tip.
Of her.
We tip care of service, but we do give her
when
more on the busy like Derby or something like that. Because it's so crazy, and that's the one time, those 2 days is when the suite is full of 24 people, and it's a lot. And we got three owners, and we don't ask for a bartender in here because it's already crowded enough, so she's doing both.
Mm.
And they actually here are not, they're not paid like waitresses. They're kind of
mm-hmm.
higher. So this, but they, so you don't really have to tip, but of course,
but we
she
always
takes
give
care
her something.
Of us.
Yeah,
always, yeah.
At the end
even
of the meet, this. Fall and spring.
Right, we do that.
But they
do.
Always have a gratuity on the thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
but then I always add on to it and then always give her something at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you send her something in the mail one time?
Yeah.
Did you tell me that?
Well, that was for Derby Day.
Okay.
I brought that out to her, I think, because I didn't have enough money.
Because you got your address from me one time. You asked me for her address. She takes care of us.
I sent her a check, yeah.
Right, you did.
Because I didn't have the money. I'd lost it all on the horses, and I didn't have the money, so I wrote her a check.
She's better.
You can scratch that part.
Yeah.
So do you know when her birthday is, or do you?
Yes, me think.
And then May something?
No, that's mine.
I know that.
That's an important one.
I don't think I ever knew her birthday.
It's not during the meet. February is what I think, too. I think it's February.
I have to ask her.
How old is Maria? She's told me.
She's 76.
Is that amazing?
She's younger than I am. I know that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
She's amazing.
She's, yeah. My kids couldn't believe that because she's so active. She can walk just as fast down this hall. And her posture and everything, she doesn't carry herself anything.
She's so well proportioned.
She is.
A little force to be reckoned with, I'm sure. Yeah. And so, have you ever seen her have a bad day?
I really haven't. Now, I've talked with her at length about different parts of her life, but it's never been.
I've seen her have a real good day one time when she didn't work and when she had her granddaughter graduated, but then she came out here later on and she had a drink with us.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
I went here.
Well, that's.
I remember that she had to be gone that day. But
yeah.
We've seen her granddaughter. She comes out on Derby with the dad. She talks about her grandkids and her children. But no, I don't remember having a bad day. Like David said, she always comes in with a smile, and never have I seen her. And she'll, talk to me.
Well, even when you bring guests in, my girlfriend, she met her one time, and when she got ready to leave, she gave her a kiss, and then when she's come out again, she always hugs and kisses
her. She remembers all your friends when they come back. Oh, I met you before. She's good about that.
Yeah, I think it's a big, it's a big difference. I'm wondering, because I'm writing my book, and, I'm really looking at the subculture as maybe a dying breed of women, and I don't know what the answer to that is yet, but I've noticed that a lot of the younger waitresses, even the waitresses in their 50s, the generation before her, have just different relationships to, being a waitress, what that means, being a lifer, and the connotations that go with that. And, I just wonder if, I'm sure there are waitresses that really do care, that are younger, and that do their best, but, I just wonder with, in terms of her relationship to hard work, once we have the next generation come through, if it's going to be the same. I mean, do you have any other waitresses, in your life that are comparable, that are younger?
We had two for
waitresses.
Derby once.
Two for Derby, we did. But it's funny because here there are a lot of career waitresses. Like people, I met David about 16 years ago, and we come to the track meets, and the ladies in the turf club, they'll travel from track to track, and they come, because the.
Rhonda, what was the girl's name that kind of heavy set? Giselle, or she had like an unusual.
Oh yeah, it's it was kind of one Giselle, but it was like that over in the other side.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking
right.
about.
And
right. the club.
She used to travel, and she was nice, but
right.
of course
mm-hmm.
we didn't have her all the time.
That's yeah, when we
not like Maria
before we got the suite. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of other restaurants. We know a lot of career waiters, like Tom and
right.
The ladies at Morton's. They go from restaurant.
Right.
Oh, they'll stay at one for several years, but
Monica.
I forgot your question now.
I think a lot of younger waitresses or waiters this day and age, that isn't probably what they want to do. So it's just a quick way of
right.
getting money. And there's a lot of turnover, as within the restaurant business as well.
Mm-hmm.
The people like Maria and the older ones that have stuck around, I mean, let's face it, there's not a lot that they can do, but they enjoy doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big big thing in this day and age is the fact that I just don't think younger kids know what they want to do right now within their generation when they get out of school. If that, they're going to do a quick buck and then they're going to turn around and go to something else. Mm-hmm. And I just think the older generation has been through a lot, and they obviously had to deal with a lot of situations that brings them up to this particular state of their life that they can continue to carry over, and they don't mind doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not afraid of hard work.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people obviously just at her age and just say, I just want to give up and I'm done. But she wants to hopefully bring along, and hopefully, I'm sure she talks to a lot of the ones out here that have just been here for a short period of time, and I'm sure she coaches a lot of them too.
Mm-hmm. What do you think will happen when, you know, I know she doesn't really have any plans for retirement, but when she's no longer here, working here for whatever reason, I mean, what do you think, how will that impact your lives, or will you stay in touch with her?
Definitely.
She'll be here as
yes, she'll
longer
be here.
Than me.
I would definitely think that it's more than just a fleeting waitress. I mean, she'll definitely be in our lives.
Yeah. And I think
I'm good about keeping contact with people, so on.
You're the person.
Yeah.
She's need to ask her that.
Right.
She's
yeah,
better.
We definitely.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge, you know, it's like these kind of waitresses that leave an impact in your life have such a big spirit and a big presence that, you know, it's like when they leave, I have a waitress, Rachel, who worked at Louis' restaurant for 55 years and never took
she
a vacation.
Was she?
Oh, yeah, she probably is.
The first page, I think. She never took
good.
A vacation?
Mm-mm. She, yeah, that's Rachel.
Here's Rachel.
She's amazing. And, you know, anytime we go out to eat, she takes me to lunch from time to time, and people just stop us on the street and, you know, say, oh my gosh, we remember you from, you know, where have you been? We miss you. And, you know, she runs into people at the opera and at bookstores. And
I like when we go, like, to New York and the deli. Which one do we go to?
Stage.
Carnegie. Don't we go to Carnegie? We go to Stage.
Carnegie, you go to
which
both.
One?
Carnegie
but you see the same waitresses, like, you know, over the years, they're always there. Even this last weekend, we went to Chicago, and there was the original Pancake House there.
Mm-hmm.
As you see the same waitresses, they stay there for years.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's just going to be different, you know. I think in when I'm 50 and 60, and I'm 35 now, but, you know, I just think as, you know, the generations go, if, you know, even if there's career waitresses, they probably won't stay at the same restaurant for
mm-hmm.
50, 60 years. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think, how long has she been here? 37, 36?
She's been waitressing 30.
Maria, yeah.
And how long has she been here?
Over 30.
That's what I thought, because they did an article in the paper on her, and Tony told me that it's been 30 years or over.
Yeah. So at what point did you guys, when you started, you know, when you first met her, it, you know, how long did it take before you were telling personal stories about your lives and
half
first
an
day.
Right.
Really?
Oh, sure, right away.
And did you learn a lot about her history? Because she's had
yeah,
a really
she
intense
actually,
life.
Did she show you pictures? She
not
brought
yet.
Pictures in the spring meet because I wanted to see the pictures, you know, when she lived, when she was growing up, when
mm-hmm.
they were under Mussolini's rule and all that. She brought me these incredible pictures as a little girl. So, yeah, from the very first day.
That's amazing. And it's been how many years that you've known her? I asked you this before.
Well,
four.
Since the suites
three
opened
and a half.
Up.
3.5 then.
That was close.
Yeah. Is that right? 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
This was our fourth Derby of year?
Fourth Derby of year?
No, it was our third.
Whatever these opened
third.
Up, that's when
this
we first met.
That was your third Derby?
Our fourth year.
Be our fourth Derby here.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this coming Derby will
so
be our fifth Derby.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have any other stories about her or things that stand out in your mind?
Any what?
Stories about Maria?
That stand out to you?
Let me think. Not really. She and I talk about cooking quite a bit. In fact, that's what we was talking about a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
She She was talking about all of her cooking with her relatives in, and about the Blue Dog bread.
Did she get their bread?
She asked me if I'd ever eaten it. I said, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Do you have any stories that stand out?
I'm looking at the program. She doesn't really care about the horses, so they're talking the whole time. Where we're going to the machines or the teller and doing all
do.
That, right? So I'm kind of like, and I love her, but I'm kind of like, go on, Marie, go over here, or go talk to Rhonda or something. But other than the stories, if the right vodka isn't up there, she knows what
she
wants, and she'll
go to
bat on anything.
We always win, and that's the one thing about customer service. She makes sure that the customer always wins, and so many people are not like that in business.
If you have a waitress that knows what your customer wants and knows that you're going to be a regular customer coming back, mm-hmm. she fits that bill.
Yeah.
You go into a restaurant, if you're a regular customer in that restaurant, what are you going to ask for? You're going to try and ask for that waiter or that waitress that takes care of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we did here. That's the bottom line, is that when we first got in these suites, we had her, and I think
one or two other ones
that helped us. But over time, we finally just said, we just wanted Marie.
And
when we moved, like Mom said, when we moved here, we said we wanted to keep Marie, because we moved down a few.
So is that just contingent? Like, when you come here, you always get Marie? I mean, what if it's a day that she's not working?
She's always here. Very,
she just comes if you're coming.
That
she's
one
on
day
the track
that she wasn't
only 5 days
here
a week that
when her granddaughter graduated.
That was the first
right.
time.
Yeah, that's the first time she hadn't been
here.
Right.
And she's just always here when it's open.
I know. The last day that I was here, I wanted a white wine, and the only wine that was in the cabinet was a red wine. She says, I'll take care of it. She took the red wine back, traded it for a white wine.
Mm-hmm. She was, yeah. Which doesn't sound very unusual unless you know how they do your contract. That's unusual for, you have a contract with liquor and stuff, but she just
does it.
Right.
Yeah, but I think, she has so much respect from management,
mm-hmm.
and they know that, the reason why probably, she gets so many, she's, I think, the highest in seniority in her union here, so, she's very well respected. So I'm sure if she makes a decision about something, people are going to back her up because they
mm-hmm.
know it's for the betterment of Churchill Downs. So
right.
it's in their best interest. But yeah, and they trust her. So,
mm-hmm.
You're in good hands, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
David, you have a story about Maria that you can think of? She always kisses you, doesn't she?
She always kisses you.
Do any other waitresses kiss you? No.
She kisses you. She says, oh my gosh, you're getting taller than me.
Every time.
That's the one line.
Jax was almost taller than her today.
Yeah. You got thrown with something.
She is.
Mm-hmm. That's so great.
But she is. She's great with all the generations. She's great with the kids and the little.
Well, even with my granddaughters, she's really sweet with them.
She remembers
mm-hmm.
what you like,
mm-hmm.
which is great. Yeah, I think
as far as the skin, all of the pictures are glued down.
You won't get a haircut.
No, but can we just hold them open and hold the page on top?
Are there certain pages you want?
Some with the fabulous hats would be great.
Fabulous
I love
hats.
The hats. And just, and just give the sense of...
If there's some kind of back here that...
No, I'll take
that. Oh, I didn't bring them. Like, here's a fabulous hat.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I thought Holloway's was going to come in.
They've already done theirs. They were in the remote store,
too. Yeah, they've
already
done.
Are they still there?
I don't know. I've been in here. They were down there when you all were, before we got started.
I just wanted to, I'm going to see if I can find Maria and,
Air mattress?
Yes.
Good.
Yesterday, it's good. I told them that.
Just throw those other two away.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. That's working fine. And so when the Holloways
telephone.
Come, we're gonna have Maria basically serve them in there, is that how? Or are they gonna
Yeah.
come in here? They're waiting over there.
Yeah, they'll wait over there. Whatever you want us to do.
And then when we finish up, which will be about 1:30, we'll go over and I'll shoot her meeting with them. But I'd also like to maybe have her, you know, maybe have you make a plate or, you know.
If you want to, because usually they make their own plate.
Oh, usually they make their
yeah,
own plate.
Yeah, usually what I'm doing, I stay there and then it's all of the alcohol.
Okay.
I bring all the alcohol down. I'll let you see this. This is a.
Okay. Wow.
No, you're fine, you're fine. We got it.
I'm not used to it. Okay. Usually, this is the refrigerator. Okay, we put the ice here.
Okay.
Okay, this is all of the. Well, first we keep all the alcohol.
Alcohol?
Okay, and we bring all the alcohol down.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's all the glasses, all plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we put the alcohol here. A lot of people, what they like to do, they like to get here
mm-hmm.
and look the programs and all the things. And I tell them, everybody took my kitchen because I call my kitchen. And sometimes they go over there, but a lot of times they like here. So I put the alcohol there.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody said, fix my drink. Can you fix me this
mm-hmm.
drink, this drink? And I fix my drink. And usually we got this lady, she like to people that way. But usually we got it. All the thing here, and they go through.
Right, how it is in the other room.
Yeah,
they
go through
food.
And
okay.
they get the food of what they wanted,
mm-hmm.
and everything's thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, right? Do you want me to fix the dish? I'll fix the dish.
Well, actually, you know, it might be better to just have you hand them the dish.
And the end of the dish, yes.
So, you know, it'll
yeah.
be kind of the waitress.
Okay,
it'll,
okay, okay.
Let's see here now.
Just stand right there.
Let's see, is that, you can see that mark on?
Do you want it up higher?
I'm going to do it this way because the battery runs out quicker.
Okay. So.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like it a little tighter in. So
my thing is okay.
Everything looks good.
You look wonderful. You look. I can't believe that you're in your 70s. I, you
76. I will be 77 in January.
Oh, Mom, you're not supposed to tell your age.
Oh.
Here, let's go.
No. That's original. It is, no?
With the little black dot?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. It was a little tiny. It's a fine. They get bigger.
Huh.
Yeah, it's been there for a long time.
Really?
No.
What did optometrician say or whatever?
Nothing. It's just a nothing.
Ophthalmologist.
No. It's a nothing. It's nothing
right
wrong with me.
Just
I've been in the sun too much with the spots.
No.
Oh,
my. Okay.
Like this?
And so we can go from there.
Uh-huh. But I got
closer.
More. All this.
Okay. Is that good?
Here.
Now to go
here.
Closer. It's this one. Okay. Yeah. Telephoto.
Right.
Okay.
Now, do you want me to call up the gate and when the Holloways arrive, they can let me know and Mom can meet them out in the hall if you want to videotape
sure.
that.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be great. Thank
you. You had to bring that piece of the newspaper.
Can
yeah.
Daisy see that and I'll get it again?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, and I'd like to scan it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Possible.
I didn't even know it.
You
but
didn't know?
No. I knew there was coming, but I didn't know what was going to happen. Because
did you see that,
when this they come in,
that
people that they know you and they know,
okay.
they stay y'all from before they come,
right.
they see
could,
you,
could,
they stay,
you
oh, Maria, Maria.
The
and they
I
come and they
first
just hug
first
you
first
and all
right.
this good things. And then,
yeah,
I didn't know that they was going to
well,
do
no,
that.
I'm going to give you my cell phone number.
At the same time, they put in the newspaper that when
six,
they come
nine,
in, I go hug everybody. And I am a type of warm person, particularly, I can say the truth.
Can send them up, just
not cold person,
wrap,
I am
so
warm person. And once they say something, oh Maria, you kiss everybody.
Yeah,
I said, I kiss in the cheek.
Fourth floor.
And I said, well, I'm used to, I'm
yes.
a warm person, not cold person.
Thanks, Ryan.
Bye. That's what I tell them, you know.
So this is something you've always been that type of person.
Always, yes, always, because even when I was doing, they was doing. So when they do it, when I forget the name, I go, honey, sweetheart.
So can you, how many years have you waitressed?
36 and a half years, yes.
So can you state your full name and say I've waitressed for 36 years?
Yeah.
State your name for the.
Maria Casita Terry. Oh, Maria Casita Terry. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever did, I never been a waitress in my life. And I didn't even know how to write English or speak English. And I start another track. Then my mother-in-law said, go see if you like it. And to put me on the stand. After I was there about 2 weeks, they told me that they wanted me to be a manager of the stand. And I said, I don't know how they do it.
And this was a sandwich stand?
Sandwich stand, hot dog stand, mm-hmm. and sandwiches. Did she count the cups, count the sliced bread, and count the buns of the hot dog. And it's got to be that way, and you put it there. Okay. I did it that way. Okay, the next time that reopened, I come over here, I did the same thing. The first derby, I was in the grandstand. And they put me on the infield with 13 people. And I never did these things like that. Everybody, I say, can I do it? Yes, you could do it. And I did. That's that short. We wear this white nylon uniforms. And I stay close to the heat.
Oh, so they were nylon?
Yes, and melt all over here.
Oh.
And melt. So I stand to say, somebody gave me an apron. Because I had to put it in the front, you know, because it melt. I didn't know anything about they do anything like that. So when I come back on the other track, they told me they wanted me to work in the lounge. And I said, I don't know their drinks.
And how old were you during this?
47 years ago, how old I would be, but.
You were in your
40s. 40s. But I didn't work on waitress in my life. I didn't even know be a waitress. So this manager come to me and say to me, I want you to work in a lounge. You know, so I say, I don't understand the English much, and I don't know about the drinks. You're alone. I know you will. I give you 3 days. If you don't like it, you go back where place it was. The first night I did, I liked it because I made $90. $90 tip.
That's a lot.
And I said, oh.
40 years ago.
Yeah, that was a lot of money. Because the bartender told me, okay, put two straws on a bourbon and one on a scotch. And that's the way I know which one it was. And on vodka. Two on vodka and one on gin. And at the beer, it was almost the like, but only the light was a light beer, was the Miller Lite was a little bit light. The Budweiser was a little bit dark. That's the way I knew it. And that's the way I did alone, they do this. And then they told me, try a little bit with the straw. And I did say, they all taste like, they're all nasty. Beer, I don't like an angle. I didn't like it, the smell either. And I don't like it to drink a beer either. After that, the way I did alone, really, about the drinks. And when they put me in the dining room, and I said, I don't know how to ride there for the food. He told me, look in the menu and copy. So, and anything I did, I've been pushing. I didn't do because I was scared to do it. Look at the way it's writing and try and copy. And you're doing all right. That's the way I did. That's a copy and copy.
Did you have other waitresses at the time that helped you?
Oh, yes, yes. There was a lot of help. When you write, I was right early time. You want to know the way I used to do? O-R. O-R-L-Y, early.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And this waitress say, no, Maria, E-T. Okay, E-T. But ecco, bourbon, lo copiavo. I mean, I just see the way it was and the way I wrote. And you think that's the way I did to do it. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, when I was writing him and my son in college, when he come home from school, I said, do they understand this and that? And he said, And then he said, no. I love you, but I didn't understand nothing. A little bit. I said, okay, I'm not going to write you anymore. But I had the twin girls that was a girl in college. They could understand a little bit, just figure the way I was talking, and they was pick it up that way. Mm-hmm. But not him. Mm-hmm. No. Why didn't you went to school here? I didn't come do it.
But you had incentive to learn, right?
Yes, yes, yes. With television, a little bit newspaper, a little bit true story. I like the true stories. And I was trying very hard that I know it. Because in a lot of way, you see sometimes pictures and you do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I did. I mean, I didn't even went to school here. I had to do it and I did.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so when you were waitressing, when you started out, how did that transition happen in terms of, you know, were you, because from what I've heard stories about, you know, you rising to the top, I mean, it's really amazing to hear. You know, how you started out doing sandwiches and then...
Do sandwich, hot dog, and be a waitress.
So what type of waitress, you were on, you said they...
Okay, here, when I started waitress, I went to what they call a sky terrace.
Okay.
That was straight to drinks, or it was a buffet once in a while. Okay, one time they asked me to go to the dining room. And I said, no, I cannot do it. He told me, you're a waitress and you do it. Because if I want to send you to Enfield and be a waitress, you're going to do it. If you don't do it. I said, okay, I try, and I did. Mm-hmm. Or anything that they told me that I had to do, I did. Okay, when I went to the other track, they call a Louisville Down, I went there as a waitress. Okay, the first thing, after I was there about 2 weeks, they put me to the director's room. And I didn't want to do it.
Why do you think they put you in the director's room so
soon? I don't know. I don't know it. This post that I had was, we call him Mr. William H. King. He was very, very strict on everything. And he was very fanatic. I wanted my tea this way, and you got to make it this way. Okay, I did alone, the iced tea was supposed to be very, very light. It's iced tea. I put a 2-3-piece lemon. Don't put it that way, squeeze them in it. And you for sure, I do the same thing he told me. The first thing he liked it. When I told his wife, I didn't like his husband because he was too straight to pure. And she told me, he liked you. I said, he liked me? And I said to him, I said to her, my husband's the same thing, do this and do that. And he told me, do this. And one time he said, Maria, Elliot did, I said to him, okay, ma perché devi fare così? Così vedi a me che vieni qua.
Inglese.
Oh, I say this way because I want you to come over here. At any time they put somebody else work for him, West Maria. you go eat of his apartment.
Okay.
Yeah, he called me. Will you please come on help? For waitress on my
dinner party.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And la moglie, his wife was right there, help. One time we went there and it was the bishop in Louisville. Okay.
How often does that happen that you get invited to serve at people's private parties?
A lot of time for him. Oh yeah, a lot of time for him because he don't like anybody else. He wants me there. He said that he knew it, how I was doing, and he knew it, that he can tell me what to do. And I was doing. He just told me what to do, and I do it. Anytime he had a company to the truck, you know, and this was Arnold's race truck. It was not like a Louisville. Down, like a Churchill down. He wants me on a director's room. And anything that he was doing, I had to be there. Even if it was the waitress, I had to be there with them. I could see Gary Louis. That's the way he was. He wants me to do it. So one time, CEO, was here.
The CEO here.
The president and the vice president. They came to Louisville down at the director's room, And Mr. King stand there là and dice, questa la mia, this is my waitress. And I hope you all understand her. But she is very good. So she will take care of you. She will take care of you. And it was Miss Meager and
Jerry Lawrence.
Yeah, now he's not here anymore, but it was there. And they look to him and they say, don't worry about it. His wife said, don't worry about it, we know. Because they was from New York, they too. We know it. And everything was okay. And every time I would see Mr. Meager, I used to say, do you remember? He said, oh yes, you still can speak English. Tease me, you still can speak English, Maria. And then he said, I love you anyway. But ecco come, any time that I did, it was more on a warm way, not on a, everybody that was here, they are here to work for Churchill. When they see me, they come hug me. And
so how many years, what was the name of this customer?
The customer, where I church, Louisville down?
Uh-huh.
That was H.M. King.
William H. King,
yeah.
And how many years did you serve him?
25, and then they closed, and then they sold it to a another company that's che la tenu ha avuto per three years that I would operato their truck, a dopo Churchill l'ha preso. Ha preso quello. Churchill, they bought the truck. They did buy the truck, mm-hmm. Churchill. So I worked there all along with Primo, Frost, Mr. McKean, second, Chester Porter, third, Churchill Downs.
And you've been at Churchill Downs for
36 and a half years, almost 37 years. 37 years.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, it's blinking?
Yes.
Is the tape running out?
Tape's running out.
Okay, just 1 second.
Okay.
You want anything to drink?
A little bit.
Water?
It shows? No?
No, no.
Okay.
There's water in there.
Okay, yeah,
it's
still hard. Okay.
You put this, if you push
the
green
button and you click it to off.
Okay.
And then
thank you.
It's important when you eject, you
get
the blue button down here. And
how much was the air mattress, Mom?
Oh, just a Windy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go to
the
big lots.
Yeah, there was only one left.
Well, that was lucky.
Yeah, because I went there and I'd see and I said to him and I said, do you have any left? He said, wait a minute, we got one left. And then I told him, if it's not good, you know, bring it back. Yeah. But there is the other big lot. I don't know if they got or not, but it's okay now.
And is she still in the frame?
Mm-hmm.
And you're welcome to, if it's easier for you, to do that.
Sure, because
then you don't have to bend over. I mean, I think we'll be fine with the battery power.
Okay.
Daisy, with her relatives being here, she's reverting back to.
My mother's face because
yeah.
They look ugly.
They make her look ugly.
Yeah, they make her look like ugly. And
no salt.
Okay, we have no salt, no water. And then we decided to go down and cross the line between the German and English.
Mm-hmm.
So one morning we was about 20 people. We went to this ditch and go through. It was raining. I'm trying to think of the day that was because it was early February. And it was cold. Okay, we went through this ditch, and this ditch was a lot of dead people, dead people. You see the legs on the trees because it was a lot of mines. Okay, the Germans started running after us, so we ran. Okay, it was lucky for us that we did ran because, and about 2-3 o'clock, we tried again because the people they tried. Some died, some they was paralyzed because the Germans they shot on the back. There was, because they was running, they shot on the back. So we did do that. So when we did try to pass the afternoon, we went up in the ditch and up on the top, the top. So there was two men in the front of us walking, the same walking, see if they see little wires, because you do see a little tiny wire, and put a little stick on it. So each one, he had to say, step this one, step this one. So we made no mind that went. So we did cross that afternoon. And when we crossed, we went to English. Okay, if I tell you my dress, what it looked like, you won't believe me. Okay, it was a little dress. It was a lot of slip, because it was on my body. I don't know how long. Okay, we do a lice. Very bad. And this English guy, he took his shirt on it and told me to put it on it. And when he gave it to me, I put it over because it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
And we was barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I never did catch cold either. Then I don't, but now I catch cold a lot easy. And that's what we did. So we spent about one night there that they give us some corn flour to make polenta. I mean, everybody know the polenta. You cook the flour. Okay, the next day they put us on a truck and took us back close to Naples. And there was a camp there, all on a tent. And there was a lot of straw, you know, just like it was better than just the ground. Okay, the next day they did the spray us. But at the same time, they had this temporary shower. So after that, we would take showers. And the Red Cross brought their clothing. Okay, I went through the line two times.
You did what?
I went through the line and get the clothing two times. You know why? Because I said, they give me once, well, how am I going to change? I mean, that was wonderful they ever. First, I had a dress, and a pair of shoes, and a pair of socks, and a pair of panties. The next time, they give me a skirt and a sweater. And I don't know how they know that I was there the second time, but they did. That when I went back to the tent, my sister said, how about me? And I said, I'm sorry. I went two times, and I had something. So I was kind of
thinking ahead
always. So then they took us in Calabria, all the way down to south. And there was a place we spent almost a year there because the German was high, English was low. And to go, they got 2 miles. This was in February. It took until the 14th. I remember this day when, because it was everybody knows, it was a song. The 14th of May when the Morocco came to go to the mount. They go try to go to the mount. Because from there was nothing in mount. I mean, there was, but there was nothing in mount. Del Monte Cassino. When we returned from about a year almost late, they told us to come back home. We knew nothing. We knew nothing home. We had a door, a sheet on the door, a bed with 11 grand on the floor, and I catch malaria. And when I catch malaria, I could not shake for nothing. Oh no. This was in 1946. We will come back at the last 45, but December, something like that, because I know it was very bad typhoid and malaria. Because when the Germans had opened the canal, there was nothing soaking up, you know, water, dirty water and everything. The fish was come from the earth, from the sea. I mean, it was just smell, and there was a lot of dead people, mosquitoes, and so it was that I was, when they took me to the hospital, this doctor said, she's never going to get well here, and you can count on my rehabs already. I was very skinny, that when I went to the hospital, you know what they told me? I will die, and I said, I don't know. I didn't want to tell because I was ashamed because I was so small, and I said, I don't know. Oh, I can't be that you are. You're almost 16, you're 16 years old. I said, honey, you look no more than 15, more than 11 years old. And I said, that's okay. And then I said, nothing. I mean, I was very, just a stick there that I was not developing nothing, nothing. So I was there for 3 months at the hospital. So they gave me a lot of vitamins, a lot of iron, and I know I had no more fever. So from there, I was supposed to go home, and this was in June, from March to June. I was supposed to go over there. My daughter told my mother, don't let her come back home, not now yet, because we still got some typhoid. You never know what happened to her. So they sent me to Anzio Nettuno. It's how the America, they had a lot dead there, because it was the Marine, that the Marine, the American Marine, that's what place of the landing. See? It looked like that Italy was a divide, and different. This country goes here, this country goes over there. Well, okay, in Nettuno, it is a cemetery that America, there was a mouse way, a full, really. And so I went up there with the nuns, and the nuns. So school for me was very, I didn't remember all of them. I really didn't. It was just like, you know, it was a dream. So there, when I pick it up a little bit there, like, just to pick it up from fourth to fifth to sixth, you know, and help there. So I went up to be there 1 year, and then I went home. But every Sunday, the nun would take us to the cemetery, and we had to pray. Oh, yes. And we was walking just like a kindergarten. Yeah, one in the front of the other one, and the nun, one nun in the front, one nun in the back. But I didn't get well to come back home. So when I come back home, to me, it was, I finished, it's gone.
What is it, the tape?
The tape.
It's out.
It's not at all.
Yeah, we went through another tape?
It's been over an hour.
Or it's not the battery?
No.
Okay.
So, when I come back home, I was really very bare toward everybody. Mm-hmm. Because why? I had to get sick, nobody else. I mean, other people, they get sick too. But see, it was every morning, it was bring you quinine. You was go through the line, and like a Red Cross, they give you quinine. The quinine didn't make my kind of liver, and I had a lot of yellow spots on my face and stuff like that. It just looked like there was heat to the labor, I don't know. But when I come back home, I was at home for a while, and I decided I didn't want to be in Italy anymore. And for some reason, it was nothing. It was very nothing. I mean, you know, but at the same time that I was there, my uncle was, I lost the three cousins. They was go to school, and they was play with rocks. You know, there was a lot of rocks on there. When the rock went on top of the mine, and they already went through the mine. But this rock went through the mine, and it killed five, and survived two. Oh, yeah. And it was all about second to third grade children. So I lost three cousins there. And then about a month later, my uncle, that was my father's brother, he was shovel. You know, they clear up. They said that they already went through all the mine. Well, he found a mine. They killed him. I mean, it was, and I said, what, I want to be here. This is after the war. What happened? I mean, already back here. So when I was 18, I did, there was a lot of things about go to England and work on a factory. First I put up, my father was an assigned for me. And I was supposed to, I can sign till I was 21 to leave home. My father said, no, you're not going to England. I was there, and I know the way it is. And I said, that's okay, I'll go to England. No. So I went until I was 21. And when I was 21, I went to do an assignment. I did get my passport and everything, and I went to England. So by this time, I was already engaged with one Italian guy. And so I wrote him I was going to England, and he was in France by that time. He said, okay, and I'm going to go to Montreal. We meet today. I never did get to Montreal. Mm-hmm. The time I was there, I meet my husband. I went there in November, he was there the next year in May. He was there a week, and I was there, but less than 6 months. We didn't meet, that was yet. After about 2 years that we didn't meet, we didn't get married there. And that's the way I wound up here. Mm-hmm. So I wound up in the United States, and I had the twins in England. Brought me there here when they was about 10 years old.
So in England, though, you worked at a sewing factory, is that correct?
Yes, sewing factory, yes. Mm-hmm. I told you that? Oh, you told you that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I worked at a sewing factory, yes. Mm-hmm. I worked there in the factory for, I even did work there a little bit after I was married until I was pregnant, and, you know, and I quit, and I worked there, and from there we come to the States. He was originally from Louisville, but he was still in the service. He was in the Air Force. They sent us to Virginia, from Virginia, South Carolina, and that's where I picked up my Southern. Yeah, they tell me I'm Italian with a Southern accent. I said, well, I'll pick it up there. I pick it up myself, and even my children say, "Mother, don't say you all. You sound like," I said, "I hope I'm not sound like a hard mom." But that's what they pick it up. So when they told us that we was there in 59, they told us, this was, I come here in 56. 59, they told us we had to go to Germany. I was scared. I was very scared to go to Germany. I told him, "You go to Germany, I'm not." He said, "I put it for Italy and England to send me to Germany." I didn't put it for Germany. Well, so when I went to, so they told me I had to give my citizenship because that time it was trouble with the Russian. In, in 60, 59, 60 was trouble with Russian. So they told me I had to give my citizenship and I said, "I don't need it, you know." "No, you got to get it because anything happened, the children." Oh, and I had a child. Tony was born in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach. So I had him and twins. After 3 years, I had the twins. And when I went to, when they told me that I could not go to Germany because I had to get my citizenship first because anything happened, the children was coming in, I had to go back in Italy. And I said, "No, I'm going to go back with them." So I had to get my citizenship. After 6 months, I went to Germany. But I was still scared. And it was very different. Not the people was different. And some of the people that we had, two family friends, one night we went out to drink wine. That's what it was drink, because that's when you think of the drink. And this, that sing in a song that I was sing when I was in school, in Italian. And I said, "Richard," he said, "Maria, don't eat me." And he told me the truth. He said, "If we didn't do to them, to the Italian, the Castabos, or Nazi, what do you call, they're gonna do to us. And we had to do what they tell us to do." He said, "But I hope the God don't come into the world, because he said, I will kill myself before I do it." And you know, that was a very sad to hear something like that. And then really when I come and I just say, it is truth. Why I don't eat them? But Morocco, it was worse when they told me that they went there, because nobody was left there. The people was crippled or old, or maybe you want to take care of your mother or grandmother. They didn't rape anybody. And there was a song when I come back from Calabria, and I said, they was talking about Morocco, and I didn't even know what the Morocco looked like. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth, and it was very bad. So it looked like that war, and everybody was scared to leave Rome. Rome was open city, nobody touched Rome. We all stay away from the city. Hmm. An American left Anthony Tuna, that's not very far from Rome, and they went straight to Rome and they just walk in. The Germans just left Rome, but I heard every time because they didn't want Rome. The Germans, they want Rome. Italy want Rome. And where I was live, I was straight down to Monte Cassino. So it's, and it was nothing hill. Every time you walk, it's up the hill. So that was bad because it was up. And there, what place was there, the worst too. So that's the way it is in my life, that I come over here and I enjoy to be here. And I tell you this, I enjoy to be a waitress. I really do. I mean, you know, I'm bored with that. I mean, you see it. I like people. I really do. I mean, people that said, "Oh, I want to be a waitress." I just said, "If I want to be a waitress, if you don't like people, don't do it." No, don't do it. Like my daughter went to, she went to college. And one time she went to work, one night. And this guy, I don't know what he told her or what he did. I think he touched her leg. And she looked to him and she went to the boss and said, "Wait a minute." He said, "That's okay." She said, "Well, that's okay for you. I'm leaving." And she called me and she said, "Mom, good luck. Now that's not for me." I mean, well, you turn around and you just say, "Keep your hands in your pockets." And I did a lot of time. I picked up their hands and put in their pockets. Oh yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, I went down with this guy, and I just said, "How far you want to go? Take your hands off of there. If you don't, I pick it up and put it in on your pockets." I mean, a lot of time, I had to be a little bit And they told me one time that I was very nasty, and I said, that's okay, I'd rather be nasty. Mm-hmm. And I even, you know, people say, oh, why? I'm married, and I got children, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and when they say it's a lot, people say that the waitress, they are easy. Not all of them. Mm-hmm. No, not all of them. Right. Some they are, some they're not. Right. I had a guy that stuck a cigarette on my shoulder because I didn't pay attention to him. Oh, yes. I mean, I didn't know what you call, I mean, you got to put, you know, put this on, do you? Mm-hmm. What do you call, I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And this guy said, there is any, when I was working at the lounge, there is any all around me, and I said, who they are? And I look around. I said, who they are? I didn't know that was. And so finally he said, He said, do you know prostitute? And I said, oh, I heard that in Italy too. He said, that's who they are. I said, what they look like? And he said, I'll let you know. There was two guys. He said, I'll let you know when they come. This was a mouse park. And so at the game, those two ladies, oh, there was busted that bag and everything, and they said that. And he said, Maria, come over here. You see there? And I said, yeah, that's who they are. I said, oh. So he told me, will you go there, see what they drink, take them a drink, and tell us that they would like to join us. They were smart. They took the drink and they said, no, thank you, but thank you very much. We got a table. See, I said, well, maybe there was just to show off. But see, that's what I mean. And there, this guy one time coming here, tell me, how much? And I said, how much for what? He didn't buy nothing. $25. And I said, for what? And I look around. $50. I look at him and I said, what the hell are you buying? When he said Andre, I said, wait a minute. And then he don't like it. This friend of mine was with me. He picked it up, you smoke a cigarette and stuck it on top here. And when he did that, that's when I turn around and I scream and I kick him. And this friend of mine went to get the security, he ran. So when you say, you are a waitress, if you want to do enough to be a waitress. But they do have a name that the waitress, they're not all the same. No.
They've always had a stigma attached to waitressing.
It's the truth, isn't it?
Yes, it's true. And it came from, I'm researching where that came from, and I know that in the 20s, a lot of women who were prostitutes.
There was a waitress?
Well, they would lie and say they were waitresses, and that would explain why they had cash on them, you know, why they were carrying cash.
Oh.
So they would lie and tell the police that they were waitresses.
Oh, that's what it was.
So that's some of the research that I'm finding is, you know, maybe where that comes from, because there is such a stigma attached to waitresses or this assumption that waitresses
and they believe that they have waitresses morals. Are really easy.
Yeah, loose morals and yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you do? Oh, I know
good
you've been
you.
All day. Thank
okay,
you so
bye.
Much.
Bye. Bye, sweetie. Thank
so
you, Anya.
I got your email.
Okay.
Nice meeting you.
You too.
Have a good trip.
I will send you some
you.
Photos.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Right,
see you, Annie.
Bye.
I left that food over there, Mom. I wrapped up some other stuff, too.
Okay.
Bye.
So that's the way it is. Well, yeah. I tell you this. I had one. I'm going to put this one in there. He came to me and he said, I would like to do this to you. And I look, I stand, and I had a tray of drinks. And I was in the steps. They come down. And he looked at me and he said, oh, I would like to do this to you. And I said, what? But at the same time, this waitress come up and said, Maria, you look so white, what happened? I said, you never know what he told me. He went to talk to the manager, was just sat down and said, what happened? He said, you never know what he told Maria. And he came around and he said, where he went? I said, went up there. See, I mean, you got to take anything,
right.
But you left and go here, come out this year. Okay, I mean, to me, it's, you find the good and bad, but most is the good people, tell you the truth.
Is
most
there anything you don't like about waitressing?
No, I tell you this, I don't know, I really don't. Because, I mean, when you find those people that they're really nasty, that were the waitress, you know, I don't like it. When they make, like you said, when they make a thing in it that said, oh, will you do this? Will you do that? Will you go with me when you don't want to go? But why you keep pushing? No, I mean, I don't say I'm a saint, because I'm not. Nobody's a saint. But some people that they're very pushy. When you say no, stop it. And don't need a push. That's the only thing I don't like. But at rest, I never had anything that I don't like it. Most of the people, I like it. On all the company, I didn't like one person, and I tell you the truth. One time, I had this group that was drink a lot, and we had a buffet here they call Chef Table. And it was not closed yet, and the person that was over this group, it was company, and there was a company from out of town, said, Maria, can we get a tray shrimp cocktail? I said, oh, we don't have it. I'm sorry. You know, they got to come all the way downstairs. I said, we don't have it. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, can you have anything? And I said, I know they're being drink pretty good, but what am I going to do? I mean, you tell them don't want it. You can't have any more. They don't want to get more upset. You cannot say that. They say, oh, wait a minute. You drink too much. I give you coffee. This is the worst you can do. Just stay away. And that's what I do. I mean, when I see drink too much, I just stay away. You know, then when I was selling the drinks. So I went to the line and I told this gentleman that I was working with the company, and I said, I got to get some cheese and crackers. We don't have nothing to snack around. And this group has been drinking a lot. They've been spending a lot of money. I looked at me and said, go ahead. And I didn't get it. I didn't get two little dishes because there was two tables full. And the table was 8 apiece. That was 16 people. And so I took that back there and everything. The next day, I went up there with senior citizens. You know, I'm my group. Okay, senior citizens, they're not going to ask you when they go get the dinner. Then they come back for another day, another plate with just a snack and put it on the middle of the table. You don't have to do that. They do themselves. He came to me and he said, who told you to put those plate on the, that food on the plate today? And it was mostly cheese and fruit, just a snack. And I said, I didn't do it. Yes, you did. I said, I didn't do it. Yes, you did. I looked straight to him and we walked toward, you know, the other door. And I said to him, and I looked straight to him and I said, who am I working for? I said, I didn't do it. And you tell me you did. Why don't you go to the table and ask who did? Who put the stuff there? I said, they do it. You don't been working this place that long. You don't know anything. Your company's new. But I tell you one thing, I didn't do it. But at the same time, I turned around and I said, who do I even work? For Gustavo, Nazi, or who? And he just looked at me with his mouth open. And I said, I was upset. But at the same time, when he left, I started crying. I was really nervous. I said, why did he do that to me? So my manager, and her name was Carrie, she came and she said, what happened? I said, I told him I didn't do it. They put the cheese and fruit on the table to those senior citizens. I said, Carrie, you've been working here now for a while. Do you know that they do it self? He said, yeah. Don't pay attention to him. I said, that made me mad because I said no, and he said yes. That's the only time that I really remember that somebody, another thing I did one time too, on the other truck, when they ordered the food, my manager ordered soup. I found the soup already on the heat. I picked up a cup of soup that was cold. They took a shrimp cocktail, and you know, you eat your soup before your shrimp cocktail. And he said, Maria, come over here. And I said, yes, give me your finger. Stuck your finger in my soup. And I said, oh, no. He said, stuck your finger this way, because this is dirty. This is not stuck this way. Will you eat this? I said, oh, my God, it was on the heat. I don't care, but next time, don't put it in your mouth, but stuck your finger this way, just this little bit, and see if it's called your finger. Then bring the soup upstairs. And that's really, I mean, you know, I've been scolded because, but I didn't check it. That was my fault. A lot of things. I mean, that was my photos. One time in here, I didn't take you got to do restock.
And what?
A restock every night. You do
restock
for alcohol, you know, mm-hmm. most of the alcohol. And one time I didn't do it. And I said, no, I didn't do it. I was believing that there was enough stuff there. You got to do it. And I said, okay. I've been catched a couple of times, you know. But hey, everybody make a mistake, and I make two, and I told them two, and I said, well, I didn't do it. I mean, I did not do restock. So, I mean, this company is very nice, too, I tell you the truth. I mean, all three companies was very nice. Harry M. Stevenson was in here for a long, long time, and it was more like a family, you know, like, you know, there was just, and Aramark was good, too, and these people that they come in, the most all young, not all people. And I think that I'm the oldest manager here. They are the all young people, but they all we all like to. Mm-hmm. You know, they not scold you or nothing, you know, they just they respect you. Mm-hmm. I had one time I said, Maria, my grandmother's the same age, and I said, good, is she still working? Well, I mean, you know, that's what I mean. It's just like I said, you got to like it. Mm-hmm. You really got to like it, to people to be a waitress. If you don't like people, do other jobs. Mm-hmm. And I like them too. When they're younger, I just say, honey, you want to be a waitress? You know, get a pension. So come and work on the weekends. Well, because now in those places, really, you don't get no pension. No, you don't. But I just say, well, go to school and get some place so that you get a pension. Enjoy your weekend, because now we do have they open on Sunday. Before it was just, you know, weekend was just Friday and Saturday, but now it's Sunday. Mm-hmm. If you work, you can work in here Saturday and Sunday. Hey, 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's what I mean. I don't have anything against the waitress. No, I really don't. But if you don't like people, stay home. Mm-hmm. That's what you think I can
not
say.
Not for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't say that my life was that, because when I went to Germany, my husband did get a multiple sclerosis. Mm. And he was only 33 years old, and it was tough after that, because he did become the baby, and the children, they come old. Yeah, because he was like a baby, not the children. So he was like me, all my attention to him, not the children. I had a tough life. I lost a daughter, 34 years old. That was one of the twins. So, I mean, you know, but you got to keep going. Mm-hmm. You cannot.
Can't stop.
No. And then when I see my children, I said, well, I think I did a pretty good job. Because and actually, I had almost to do all myself, because he was not, he didn't care. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what that is. But, you know, I try to do everything, you know. I do everything home now. I still cut my grass.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and my daughter said, Mother, and I just say, hey, how do you do it?
What are the worst physical parts of waitressing for you? I mean, as you age.
My age is the worst. It's the carrier trays, mm-hmm. and you cannot really do like you used to, because, especially the shoulder, because a lot of people, they are right. You know, they do, I cannot carry on my